happening.
I don't know what is wrong with this microphone. Well, we tightened it, and it just won't stop. May, yeah.
You might have to stick a piece of something and then tighten it back.
I'll have to bring a...
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Let's get ready for service this evening. Hope everyone's doing well and having a wonderful week. I've enjoyed seeing that mixed sun and clouds today. A little sunny. I like that. Praise God. Good to have some back that have been sick and been out. So we just want to lift the Lord up this evening. Just praise Him. Anyone watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villarica. We're just going to worship the Lord and hear His Word tonight. Let the Lord minister to us. So if you would, let's stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer if you can. As we go in prayer too, let's remember those that are sick and shut in, all the flash texts we get, those that need the Lord to touch, and also those that have lost loved ones. Anyone on my right side with a spoken prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Brenda? Excuse me? Absolutely. Anyone else on my right side? Anyone on the left? Well, absolutely will. We know God's greater than cancer. He can carry us through surgeries as we go through each and every procedure. Anyone else with a spoken prayer request? I don't want to miss anything. All righty. Brother Priest, Kathy Bennett, one of them. If you have an unspoken or prayer request, just show by raising of your. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You tonight. Dear Lord, we thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house tonight. Lord, may we be here in Your name. Dear Lord, as we come together, Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, ready to worship You, praise You, and to lift You up. Dear Lord, we humbly thank You again for the freedoms You've given us, dear Lord, for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. As we come together again, dear Lord, as we stand here in unity, dear Lord, may we just lift up each and every prayer request, so spoken and unspoken, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we know that You can touch our children, dear Lord. You're greater than earaches, greater than inner ear infections, dear Lord, and all the different things that's going forth, Lord, as the names that were called out. Dear Lord, and for those special surgeries, dear Lord, we lift You up. Lord, I know there are those watching online right now that would rather be here tonight, but because of their health issues, dear Lord, we ask You to touch them. Lord, strengthen us as we go through each and every day. May Your word go forth tonight, dear Lord. And each and every time we have service, may we glorify You, dear Lord, and let Your word go out and just touch our hearts and our minds, dear Lord, and just strengthen us. Lord, we pray for the lost, dear Lord, and we pray for this community, dear Lord, our families, dear Lord, our community, our state, Lord, and our country. Lord, may we be about You, dear Lord. May we be one nation under God. Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, we ask You to touch our pastor, bless him and his family, strengthen them, dear Lord, as we just continue Your work. Lord, we just give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. Good to have our visitors with us this evening. We go to the Lord. We're just going to go and just do a song. Page 306, The Old Gospel Ship. I've asked Sister Penny to sing with us as we do this on the mics. Praise God. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joy with you I'll share. I plan to take a trip in that good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Amen. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Amen. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. If you're ashamed of me, you'll have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much thought you'll find, you'll surely left behind while I go sailing through the air. Yes, Lord. Oh, I'm going to take a trip that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I'm going to take a trip that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Yes, Lord. The promises of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. Get ready to call on some special singers. Just really thank the Lord for all that He gives us and all that He's allowed us to have. And it's an honor to be able to return a portion of it to Him, because it's His anyway, and everything we do. May the Lord just bless the ministry. Brother Bitsy, if you would ask the Lord to bless. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Would not be denied. one more time. Well, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied.
Lord, indeed. Sister Brenda, if you would, then Miss Susan, and then Brother Morrow, Brother and Sister Morrow, if y'all would, after that, please.
Praise the Lord. How many is glad to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. You know, I was listening to Michael Combs this morning, and he said, I might not get this quite right, but anyway, he was talking about, have you ever seen God? You know, and you stop and think about that. Have you ever seen God? Have you really? Well, have y'all? Nobody? I don't mean with a literal eye. Spiritually, I'm sorry. Have you ever seen God? I've seen him plenty of times. I've seen him plenty of times. But when he was singing that song, and I went back and played it 2 or 3 times, I really enjoyed that song. He said, you know, when I seen God is when I seen a sinner, Brother Eddie, that went to the altar. Lord, I feel cold chills on me. But he went to the altar and he got his life right. He seen God. Now that man, who he was talking about, he said every time he sees him, he sees God. You know, when we look out at the congregation, we see God. He died. He died for us, Brother Eddie. So we could be in the house of God tonight and we can see him. We can't see him with our natural eyes, no, but we can see him spiritually. Because most of the time, I want to be careful how I say that, people's not in here that knows God. Does that make sense? Yeah, something like that. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, and you know, but most of the time the people that's in the house is God's people, right? Well, thank you, Sister Penny. I just been feasting on the Lord today, and I just love him. I really do. I just love the Lord, and I just want to be... I want to be so close to him. I really do. I want to be so close, Sister Susan, that not because of me, but when I walk by, people know, you know, there's something different about her. There's something. That girl's got something. I can tell there's something in her life. That's what I'm talking about. Not because I'm anything, because I'm not, but I want people to be able to see Jesus in my life. They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I can understand. For the things that make us cry won't be found in that land. There'll be no pain or sorrow, we'll never be sad again. It's a place of peace and rest, and the joy will never end. It'll be hard not to cry when we finally step inside and see our loved ones there. It's been so long. Throne and feel the joy I've never known. It'll be hard, so very hard, not to cry. Now you can say that I'm emotional. Crying's always been easy for me. Whether because my heart is heavy, or
joy ecstatically. So I will pray that when I get there, realize my race is through. It'll be hard to hold the tears back when it all comes into view. It'll be hard not to cry when we finally step inside and see our loved ones there. It's been so long. And when I walk up to His throne and feel the joy I've never known, it'll be hard, so very hard, not to cry. It'll be hard, so very hard, not to cry. Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad was willing to drink His bitter cup. Although He prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," I'm so glad He never called heaven's angels. From my hands pull these nails that torment me. Had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a place Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul.
For that old rugged cross. So thankful for what He did for us. Praise His holy name. He's worthy tonight to be praised. And after the resurrection, He said He'll be back. And it won't be long. Just look around. You can just see. Even a sinner knows the Lord's coming back soon. I tell you what, it can't be long. But anyway, just listen to this song. Go ahead, brother. Jesus told his disciples of things to come. He would be persecuted and mocked by some. The Son of Man would die on the cross, but he didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. He didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. Jesus is coming to take us home. By his blood he has bought me, in his word he has taught me. He didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. Hallelujah. The Bible reports he surely would come, like a thief in the night, with the trump of God. That King of all kings would pay the cost. He didn't stay dead, oh no, and he won't stay gone. He didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. Jesus is coming to take us home. By his blood he has bought me, in his word he has taught me. He didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. He didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. Won't stay gone. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's coming. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Coming back, my Lord, what a powerful voice that is. Well, let's see. I'm getting ready. What key is it? What page is it? Let's sing one more congregational number. Getting ready. One what? 116. I know what the author's talking about. You're getting ready, but there's also a side of that we better be ready. The time of getting ready is now, and we need to be ready. Let's do it now. F good for y'all. Laying up my treasures in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world, trusting in the riches of His saving grace. Any earthly trial I His love can trace, sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping
my record,
and I'm watching
both day and night.
I'm getting said I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. That is a promise. You can mark that down and know that He is coming again. He doesn't lie. He will fulfill His promises. And I'm so glad that we serve a God of promise, aren't you? Man, that where He is, we may be also. Man, you know, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, things that God has prepared. It's going to be beyond our ability to even comprehend or imagine the greatness of heaven. I don't think there's any human being that can adequately describe the greatness, because we haven't been there to see it yet, but I'm sure it's going to exceed all of our expectations. So it's going to be a wonderful place, a good place. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. Luke, Gospel according to St. Luke. We're going to visit a very familiar story tonight, in maybe a different way, if you will allow us to do so, as the Lord was laying a thought on my heart tonight, and I pray that I can convey it as the Lord laid it upon my heart. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to see you. Now say it like you mean it. All right, good to see you. Amen. It is good to see you. And as one fellow said, it's good to be seen. Amen. That's a mouthful right there. It's just good to be up and about. In the book of St. Luke, the 19th chapter, I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, and then we may go back and pick up the preceding verses later. But right now, the 19th chapter of the book of St. Luke, verses number 9 and 10. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. All right, the reading of the Word of God according to Jesus' words Himself. And Jesus said unto him, this day, everybody say this day, is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for another opportunity to gather here tonight, God, with these precious saints. Father, I pray your blessing, I pray your anointing upon everyone in this house tonight. God, I especially ask that you anoint this vessel, these lips of clay tonight. God, speak to us, Lord, that we need to hear. God, give us direction. God, give us that special anointing tonight, God, that we need from you. For we're thankful, Lord, for your many blessings. We're thankful, God, that you have seen fit, God, to prepare a place for us, that where you are, we may be also. God, we ask again that this word will go forth tonight, Lord, that we'll be submissive to it, obedient, God, to your will and to your word, and we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. To see you, appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night, man, to worship the Lord.
If I had a thought tonight, it would be in the form of Jesus' mission statement. The company that I worked for 34 years, in fact, I still have the little card and I still have a little memento that has exactly what it is. It is a mission statement. And for those 34 years, that mission statement of that company did not change. Maybe there were some times when it got a little lax, but the mission statement itself never changed. It was the same from day one until I retired several years ago. And from my understanding and talking to other peoples, even before my time with that company, that mission statement was still the same. And that was because of a lot of thought and a lot of concentration was put into finalizing that mission statement. Realizing what the company stood for, realizing what their goals were, and realizing what their service to mankind was. And it was all incorporated, and I'm sure they got very intelligent people, a lot more smarter than me, to maybe comprise, there's a big difference between compromise and comprise all of those words. I would imagine a lot of the heads said, well, we need to put this in there, we need to put that in there, and don't forget we need to put this. But maybe somebody got together and said, you know, it needs to be kind of brief. I tell you what about a mission statement. If it's 3 pages long, most people are going to give up on it. Can you say amen? We like directions that are precise and easy to follow. And so it was for the mission statement. They finally got it together, and it was pretty concise, and I don't know, just a small paragraph. But in that, there was a great meaning, and we stood by that. We, in fact, many, many times when approached by upper management, we were asked to give that mission statement. And if that wasn't enough, because some of us didn't have the memory that we ought to, they had these little coins, these little copper coins. It was about the size of an Eisenhower dollar. And on the back, it would be the mission statement. So we were encouraged to carry those around with us in our pocket to let us know what the mission statement was, so that we could be aware of it, so that we could abide by it, and so that it would be always to the public and to our competitors what our company stood for. And I was thinking about the many things that Christ did. Do we realize, and I think that we do, his time on this earth was very, very short. You know, when I was 16, 33 years old seemed old. I'm not 16 anymore. 33 is young. 53 is young. 63 is young. I've done past all of those. But in that short span of time, according to the Jewish law, he could not begin his ministry until he was 30 years old. You know, there's a lot of talk about what Jesus did from the time he was 12 till he was 30. A lot of it wasn't probably written or recorded. But during those 3.5 years, he did a tremendous amount. Think about it. I mean, you talk about a tireless schedule. And he wasn't jetted around in an airplane. He wasn't on a train going to and fro, or even a ship or a yacht, but most of it was either walking or maybe in a boat, going to and fro, ministering, healing, delivering, setting folks free, having compassion on folks, and feeding multitudes, and doing a number of things, all over and above his mission statement. Now, he describes here to those that were standing nearby what his basically abbreviated mission statement was. I have come, or the Son of Man has come, to seek and to save that which was lost. First and foremost, the mission of Christ was to be the sacrificial Lamb of God. I think we agree with that. God did not change blood atonement. He simply took it away from the blood of goats and bulls and animals and put it on the sacrificial lamb, which in fact was Jesus Christ himself. So without the blood of Jesus Christ, there would be no redemption of sins. There would be no salvation. So Jesus knew what his mission was, but he also had a mission statement that as long as I'm in this world, I'm going to reach out to as many people as I can. I'm going to preach salvation. I'm going to try to lead the lost, amen, to the kingdom of God. I'm going to, and besides that, he was healing and anointing and changing lives and setting folks free. But main purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we agree with that mission statement, then I think sometimes we as a church need to revisit our mission statement. Now, I don't think we've ever had a mission statement per se, but I think it ought to be up to every Bible-believing church to have the same mission statement that Jesus had. We know we have healing. We know we have delivering. We know we have teaching. We have ministries. But the main purpose, I believe, of any born-again Christian is to seek and to save that which was lost. Because Jesus cared so much about the lost, he gave a parable. He said the 99 are safe within the fold. They're okay. But he left them to go out, the shepherd did, and to seek and to save that one which was lost. And my way of thinking this week, as the Lord was kind of leading me down that path, if it was so important, one lost soul was so important to Jesus, then it ought to be important to the church. And it ought to be important to the pastor. And it ought to be important to every born-again saint of God. And I don't want to get offensive or nitpicky, but I'll speak from my personal testimony or myself. Lord, am I requiring so much of your time on fixing me that I've wavered a little bit from the mission statement of getting folks saved, seeking that which was lost? You know, sometimes things come to us in an abrupt way. A piece of furniture in the middle of the night when you don't turn the light on will suddenly get your attention. Almost instantaneously, nothing else matters. You just stomped your little toe on the side of the cupboard or whatever it is, and all of us, I mean, that is an abrupt. And sometimes the Lord speaks to us abruptly. Sometimes he speaks in a still small voice, but sometimes it is so vital and so important that he abruptly speaks to us or lays something on our heart, and we say, oh, wow. Yes, Lord, you're right. By the way, I've never found him to be wrong. He's always right. And I begin to think about the modern-day church. When I'm talking about modern-day church, I'm not necessarily talking about this building. This building is inclusive. How many knows the modern-day church is the church of believers, the body of Christ? And whether you like it or not, you're brothers and sisters in Christ. The same DNA, amen. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to all the believers who have received him. And thank God, you know what? We need to quit fussing and fighting with our brothers and start loving and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. That's one thing that we can do to begin to let the Lord have free will or free course in our service. But I begin to think that so many times I don't want to say tying the hands of Christ, because you can't do that, but we're consuming so much of his time on our needs, and I'm not discounting that. God says, I will supply your needs. That's Bible. And he says, also, I will give you the desires of your heart. That's Bible. If we believe the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. If you believe that tonight, give the Lord praise and thank you for making impossible things possible in my life. But somewhere along that abrupt feeling began to hit me. He said, Lord, we're consuming. We're taking way too much of your time. When we're born again, we're part of the ones that are in the fold. Come on, we're the ones that are safe within. But there's some lost souls out there. There's a lost sheep somewhere out there. And the mission statement of Christ was, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you thankful he left the fold and come seeking for you? Aren't you glad that he loved you so much that you said, you know what? I came to seek and to save that old boy who needs salvation in his life. But you know, the church, or the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't like that too much. I want to go back in verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. A lot of history in Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. When I read that, it's almost like, and he was rich. You know, somewhere along the line, rich people have got a bad reputation. Evidently, jealousy, envy, strife, maybe he was a vile person. I don't know. I wasn't very good before the Lord saved me. How about you? Maybe you were great. But the Lord had to fix a lot of things in my life through his infilling of the Spirit. But he was rich, and he sought. This is so important. We read over that so many. He sought to see Jesus. He didn't simply wish he could see him, or hopefully by some coincidence he might get to see Jesus. Evidently he had heard of Jesus. He knew he was in the area. He knew he was going to be passing down a certain street. So he sought to see Jesus. He put forth an effort to see Jesus. Not just to stand in the crowd, because he was small of stature. Said he sought to see Jesus, who he was, could not for the press or the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Oh, that we could get sinners to run to see Jesus. To seek Jesus, to find him. He sought after Jesus. If we could find folks that would come into the church, amen, seeking salvation in their life, a change in their life, amen, the Lord to come in and clean up their life, that would be so much wonder, so great, so wonderful. And that's what the church needs to see. We need to see some birthing of the Lamb. When you're spending all your time caring to the sheep, satisfying their whims, seeing to them, times the birth of lambs begins to be secondary. But Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Even that person that the community doesn't like, even that person that people frown upon him, even that person who is vile, even that person who is an old publican, the chief among publicans, and rich and probably doesn't do anything for anybody but himself. I came to seek and to save him, that person that society doesn't like. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, ooh, glory, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, pardon me, I know the Bible doesn't say this, and I'm not trying to add to or take away a tittle whatsoever, but knowing people the way that we learn knows that after a while you begin to see certain characteristics in certain people. And my daddy used to have a saying, people are people everywhere you go. Sounded kind of profound. His meaning was, people, you know, habitually do things. It don't matter if they're north, south, east, or west. You know, people are people, and people are going to do what people do. I'm thinking that there were a lot of eyes rolling. You know, crowds are, and I'm thinking maybe they was going home with him. I was kind of hoping to go over to my house. I've been straightening up my house, and I got it looking real, real good. And now, you know, I want him to see that I pray all the time. I want him to see that I do this and that. think, sinner? I just imagine maybe, and the Bible doesn't say that, but knowing people the way that we know people, maybe there were some, I can't believe he's doing that. I can think of at least 10 people that Jesus needs to go home with, and certainly Zacchaeus is not on the list. Jesus is missing. I wasn't going to say that. I'll say, Lord, sanctify him. Let your anointing be upon him. Amen. You know, I remember years and years and years and years ago, a preacher and his son said he wanted to be a preacher when he grew up. His daddy said, oh, really? You want to see souls saved? He said, no, I want to tell jokes. Oh. But anyway, got a call this week from a friend of mine. And I was in one of those moods. Sometimes I'm in a mischievous mood. Sometimes I'm in a sarcastic mood. And sometimes I'm just in a mood. And he called and said, and he does mobile service, and he has some clients around here. And he said, I'm up here at the church, and ain't nobody here. How come I'm the only one up here? I said, because the rest of us are saved. And there was a long pause of silence. And then he came back with some kind of smart aleck preacher thing. But then I got to thinking about that. You know, we're saved. We're filled with the Spirit. We're just sitting around waiting on Jesus. That's not the mission statement of Jesus. See, Jesus could have gone to the church. He could have gone to the synagogue. He could have gone to the preacher's house. He could have gone to Sister So-and-so's house. Saw what a nice bouquet of flowers she had arranged and everything like that. Today, I'm going to your house. Why? Because Zacchaeus sought Jesus. He sought Jesus. He wanted what Jesus was preaching. He wanted a life-changing experience with the Lord. Let me tell you something. If somebody's hungry, Jesus is ready to fill them. Amen. Regardless of their past, regardless of whatever they've done, amen, if they'll come with a broken and contrite spirit, a repentive heart, and ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of their life, amen, that can be a part of the mission statement of Jesus Christ. And then we find he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. I can remember days. I can remember camp meetings. I can remember youth camp when the preaching of God was so strong, the Spirit of God and the drawing spirit, convicting power of God was so real. It was almost like the hand of God was reaching out and tugging hearts in the very congregation. And they didn't have to sing four verses of an altar song to get folks to come to the altar. As soon as the preacher opened up the altar and asked folks to come, with the sawdust on the ground, the dust began to fly because hungry souls were finding the altar, running and making haste to find Jesus in their life. And we say, why isn't it like that today? The Lord is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Could it be that it's not as important to the church today as it once was? Because let me tell you what happened in the churches before the singing, before the preaching, and before the altar call. Those who were born again, those who were wanting to see a move of God, were at the church early praying. They were praying at the youth camp. And when I say youth camp, these were teenagers. These were teenagers. Of course, the ministry was there and the teachers and all. But there was such a compelling, moving power of God that they couldn't get to the altar fast enough. And we see in Jesus' mission statement unfolding. Today, Jesus' mission statement should coincide with the church's mission statement. That should be our mission statement, to see and to save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus, and when they saw it, they all murmured. That was me talking about a while ago. Murmur saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Imagine that. Jesus having a relationship with someone who is a sinner. Thank God that he loved me when I was a sinner. Thank God that he had enough compassion on me. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Something happened to Zacchaeus. Because from his history, he wasn't given back. He was taken. And he was hated for it. But all of a sudden, he had a repentive heart. Do you remember? You remember the night you just hit the altar and all of a sudden that was the most important thing in your life. God, I don't care. I don't, whatever I have to lay aside, God, whatever it is, I just want you to come into my life. Lord, I want you to fill me with your spirit. God, I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of not knowing, Lord, where I'm going to spend eternity. And you got serious with the Lord and you repented and you that spirit and that heart was just broken. And you said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, here, just save me and fill me with your spirit. What a change it made. Listen. What Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. I think he was talking more than the structural building that they were in. I think he was talking about Zacchaeus' house, his tabernacle. Hey, it's good to have the Spirit of the Lord in the church, but it's even better to have the Spirit of the Lord in this tabernacle. You see, I'm addicted to him. I can't go a day without him. I can't even go an hour without him. I need him every minute of every day in my life. And I am so thankful for what he did in my life. I just want to get to where I am so anxious to share this with other people. Let them know that Jesus is still saving and changing lives. I know the maintenance of the church is vital. We as saints need preaching. We as saints need teaching. We as saints need praise and worship. I understand that. But church, we need to see some growth. We need to see some lambs born. We need to see Jesus moving and seeking and saving that which is lost. And the harvest is white. The Bible says the laborers are few. Lord, put such a desire in our life. Put it in every church, every Bible-believing church. Every man of God, every evangelist, every prophet, every pastor, understand that we need to have the same mindset. Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, to see the saved born again, to see the lost come to Jesus. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus hinted of his mission statement. In fact, may have gone into a little bit more detail than just the statement of, I am come to seek and save that which was lost. He visited a synagogue, which was customary, and he was coming to his natural homeland in St. Luke, the 4th chapter, just after he had spent time in the wilderness and the power of God was upon him. In verse number 14 let's start at 14, kind of lay a little groundwork. It's in the 4th chapter of the book of St. Luke, beginning with verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for, you know, if everybody says you don't need to go to church, well, Jesus did. He saw necessity. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And I kind of think Jesus just knew exactly, and he just began to read a prophetic scripture. And this is written in red in my Bible, signifying that Jesus spoke these words. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Praise God for that. And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And verse number 20, and he closed the book. He closed the book. You remember me talking about all those who wanted to put something and add it into the mission statement of the company, and it was going to be really, really long. They worked it down to pretty much included all that needed to be said. Jesus just said what needs to be said, what his mission statement was. Again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I encourage us, I pray, as the church, and I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about not just First Pentecostal, whatever gospel, preaching, Bible, believing, saint of God, ministry, Sunday school teacher, evangelist, whatever, have compassion for the lost and have a desire to see the lost saved, to seek and to save that which was lost. I think we've got the saving part. I don't think you could find a church member anywhere that doesn't want to see the lost saved. Can I get an amen? I mean, wouldn't that be great? You got maybe family members. You got maybe working people around you. You may have loved ones that you want saved. But have we got the seeking part? When you seek something, basically, you don't really wait on it to come to you, the way I understand it. When you seek, you go out and you try to find. That's what Jesus did. Yeah, he preached in the synagogues. But he also preached in the garden. He also preached in the mountain. He also preached in the wilderness. He preached from a boat one time. Amen. Just wherever there was a need, find Jesus there. Why? Because his mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Can you agree with me that maybe we need to revisit that mission statement? Lord, plant that in our hearts. Plant that in our spirit, God, to pray and to seek those that need to be born again. I've often done this, and I'm not going to ask you to do this other than just kind of in your mind. But if you can think right now, and I'm going to throw this number out to start with. And I would imagine if you get a little more time, you could even exceed that number. First of all, don't raise your hand or don't shout out a name, but is there anybody here in the congregation tonight that can think of one soul that they would love to see saved and born again? Given time, could you think of five? I'm not asking you to be judgmental now, but you understand, you know the fruit, or you know the tree by the fruit, or the lack of. And maybe given a little more time, could you actually increase that number to 10? My point is, there's opportunity out there. There's opportunities in our family. There's opportunity where we work. There's opportunity in the community. Amen. So let's be about the Father's business. We want to say, you know, we've talked about it tonight. The common theme was Jesus is coming soon. I think we all agree with that. And we need to get that urgency. Because you know what? I want everybody I know to go with me. There's not a person, and you know, to let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus, you know, it is not his will that any should perish, and it should not be our will that any should perish. Even the person that despises you the most, you should not have the desire to see them perish. In fact, that might be your one, seeking to save that one which is lost. We could go on and on and on and on, but that, I just wanted to share that with you tonight because, as I said, God abruptly brought that to my attention this weekend, and it hit me hard. It really hit me hard. And I think that I wanted to convey that to the church. You know, we're talking about a lot of the core members right now of the church here. So let's get lost souls and say, Brother Eddie, what can I do? Start with prayer. I guarantee you, don't ever discount prayer. Pray for those people. You know, and you know, one time a week, that's okay, but if you're really seeking that when this is lost, you're going to pray for them probably on a daily basis. And you're not going to force them. There's no way. It doesn't work. If that worked, there wouldn't a child of a mother be lost in this world. They would guarantee those precious gray-haired saints and grannies, I guarantee they would make sure. But that doesn't work. But that doesn't mean we quit trying. Man, don't give up on them. Keep praying. Keep encouraging them. Keep inviting them. And keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Let them know that, you know what? You're a prime candidate of why Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. To seek and to save that which was lost. May God bless you. We love you. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. We appreciate you so very much. If you'll stand tonight as we prepare to dismiss. If anyone has prayer, need for prayer tonight, this altar is always open. I want you to understand that. If you need healing for your body, if you need a closer walk, whatever the case may be, we don't ever turn anybody away, but we always give a standing invitation, offer a time for you to come. And the Bible says, if any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith. What? They'll be delivered. Amen. So is there one tonight that needs prayer?